888-789-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
Now, this is the second of the last show that Mike Schaefer, our producer, is going to be with us. And then he splits after the show tomorrow, and then he's going to start doing something else, I guess. He got another gig over at Clear Channel. And we'll be working as a producer on an early morning show. So, in other words, you are trading in getting out of bed, oh, say, about 9:30, 10 o'clock every day to get out of bed at 4:30 in the morning. That's the baby. That's a career move. What time? You'll forget it, but where you live going downtown, that's going to be like 3 a.m. 3 a.m., you're out of bed and you're getting set for it. All right, so anyway, we're going to take Mike out tomorrow night and get him hammered. Anybody want to come along, we'll meet you there. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. British Airways Chief Rod Eddington has called Hollywood film stars who refuse to fly because of the 11th of September terror attacks gutless cowards. Speaking on Concorde's comeback flight to New York, the BA chief executive said he was disgusted that celebrities were refusing to take to the skies. He told Mirror editor Pierre Morgan he thought the Hollywood stars were quite pathetic. Referring to action movie hero Bruce Willis, Mr. Eddington said this is a guy who makes movies like Die Hard, in which he's always the hero who races into skyscrapers saving the world, but in real life he's too scared to fly in a plane. At the first sign of trouble, they cower under their beds like gutless cowards. Mr. Eddington, a failed film star who most recently appeared in the blockbuster... He sounds bitter, doesn't he? Concorde flights from New York on Christmas Day have been canceled for operational reasons, blah, 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 blah. Mr. Eddington said that we had to cancel a few flights because the plane may blow up. But why are these gutless cowards not flying on our airline? I don't understand that. You know, here's just a thought. We went to New York and we were there for a whole week. Now, see, during a time of war, which is what this is, a lot of people are kind of losing sight of that a little bit. Isn't there some kind of an opinion poll somewhere that says that the American people are tiring of the whole Afghan campaign? And I was thinking, gee, I wonder, would they tire a little bit more if, say, another plane flew into a building? Maybe we ought to arrange for that. You guys get a little bored, a little tired of this Afghan thing, man. We can get Osama on a line and have him kind of sail another one into a building someplace. But anyway, we went to New York because my thought was, and I'm just speaking to you very honestly here about what I do for a living, which is as an entertainer, I provide nothing but hopefully a couple of laughs on a really good day. On a really good day, that's all anybody can hope to provide, a couple of laughs. Just a couple of side-splitting, just a few ha-has, whether you're Dan Rather, whether you're that nun who does the thing with the chalkboard, whether you're Bishop Sheen, on Bishop Sheen's best day, all he could hope to provide was just a couple of giggles. Tom Brokaw, Peter Jennings, Charlie Rose. If you can tune in, Charlie, and just, you know, just have a couple of giggles as he's interviewing some guy who runs a leper colony, then you know they're doing their job. Larry King, I flip him on at night, and it's just wonderful. One of these days, he's going to be going, I'm Larry King, and another thing, and then you just hear a slight little, oh, cut. Because, you know, he was just, that whole constricted throat thing finally just sent too much pressure down toward the diaphragm and the lower intestine. So the point being that all we can do is that. Now, cut to the year 2001, cut to September the 11th. What do we got now? We got ourselves a war. This is where the entertainment business can step to the fore. This is where we can actually do some good. This is where the real world intrudes a tad, and we actually can maybe inspire people a little bit. They did it in World War I. They did it in World War II, the film stars and the radio stars. What did they do? They did these war bond tours. I don't know if you were familiar historically with what the actors and the celebrities and the performers did during World War II, but they would travel the country rallying support for people purchasing war bonds. This is how the country financed the war, and then later I think you cashed them in for what? Double your money, something like that? It's actually not a bad investment. Well, this is what we do as performers. We raise the morale. Hopefully we can raise the morale of the people and get people sort of moving, not frozen in time, but moving. So when we decided to go to New York, that was the primary thought that I had. I can get maybe do my little teeny itsy bitsy tiny itsy just a little tiny bit toward getting people moving and getting people less afraid. And then we came back and we communicated our feelings. I think it's our duty. That's just and I'm not putting myself in the same class with some heavyweight like Bruce Willis. I mean, I'm way down the ladder. I'm way down the food chain from that guy. But we're all kind of generally in the same business. And so as much as this guy, this Eddington guy, may be a little bit over the top, guy's got a good point. He's got a really good point. See, people look at you, and while you have a right to say, you know, I'm just a movie actor, why did people shouldn't look to me for, I'm just making a movie, and then I go home and I try to have a decent bowel movement, and then I go to bed. See, radio stars, we occupy the same rung next to Ronald McDonald, okay? And then it just... We're a little bit higher than the milkman and right next to Ronald McDonald and just a tad lower than, you know, the Catlin Fritz Coleman, one of those guys. Way, way up the list is Bruce Willis. But if your country is in distress and it needs a little motivation, then we can do this. Not only can we do it, but it's our duty. It's our job. It's a job that we should willingly do. And if there is such a thing as a draft... A military conscription, that was the word I was looking for yesterday, a conscription of people into the ranks of the military, there probably ought to be something similar when it comes to performers because we do have that kind of influence. And I wouldn't say exercising at any other time is a load. I don't like it when celebrities get into the political sphere and say, vote for this guy, vote for that. Personally, I'm not saying don't do it, but I don't dig it. I'm not nuts, you know, about that kind of thing. But when it comes to getting people moving and getting the country, because the country is at risk... You can do that. So the guy's got a point. Now, I don't know what I heard after this thing happened. I heard that Drew Barrymore canceled a movie premiere, and there were some people who didn't want to fly to Italy to get married. And I heard some outrageous stuff, and I don't want to mention any names because that would be, you know, you shouldn't mention names unless you know for sure. But Gwyneth Paltrow, I'm kidding. I don't know who it was, but somebody was out running around looking for a gas mask and Cipro and... Gwyneth, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, but I don't even know if that was her. So anyway, and who, what else, Janice? You know, just these stories that we were hearing about these people hunkering down in their bomb shelter in their backyard. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. You don't have to go out and put on a gun and then put on a flak jacket and go to Afghanistan, but, you know, as long as the eyes of the people are kind of upon you, go about your normal business, do your thing, butch up, sack up, cinch it up, act like a freaking man, and grow a pair, you know, Gwyneth, even you, grow a pair, and get out there and do it, whatever it is you're going to do. I don't care if it's going down to 7-Eleven for a pack of razors or a box of tampons or something, just get out and let them know that you're moving. Get in a plane and fly someplace, you pussy. Now, am I trying to say that I'm some kind of a hot guy, you know, I'm a real special guy because I did it? Yeah, but anyway, no, we did with the mindful of trying to get people a realistic snapshot of the city of New York and a realistic snapshot of plane travel. There are people who still don't want their loved ones to fly east. They still don't want them to get an airplane. I'm telling you guys, it's beautiful. If you think about it, who, Penny Marshall stockpiling Cipro? Penny Marshall. God, that's weird. Penny Marshall stockpiling Cipro. Of all the people, why does she feel particularly vulnerable? What, is all those years working with David L. Lander? So I... Now, that's rude, man, and I'm kidding around, and you know that... Michael McKean? No. So, what the hell? Hey, come on. I got on an airplane. I flew in. I've been flying all over. My wife flew to San Antonio 4 days after this thing went down. I said it before, and it bears repeating. Anybody that tries to hijack a plane in this country right now, they are taking, well, they've written, it's over. They're dead. They're dead. There's not a cabin full of passengers on an airliner in America today that is going to sit still for anybody trying to hijack anything, even a bus, a car. You gotta think. You gotta use your head. You know, realistically, you could fear. I don't know what's the realistic fear that most people have when they fly. The plane's gonna crash. I mean, that there's something wrong mechanically with the plane. Those are the normal paranoias that people have when they fly. But hijacking. It happened. I understand. It was shocking. I got that. I'm not going to say it isn't going to happen. I'm telling you, you got to trust me because I had my instincts on this thing and I was right. These guys shot their wad on September the 11th. There's too much awareness now. The people are too finely attuned to these kinds of dangers. And I'm sitting there. I remember flying back from New York. I wasn't with my wife, you know, and I'm looking around at me, the guys, I'm thinking, okay, I've had a couple of double vodkas. Bring it on. Come on. And then I got up, and I was stretching, and I kind of looked down the cabin. I looked out of first class, and company flew me first class. But I looked into the cabin. I went, ah? Ah? People are looking up from their magazines. What the hell is with him? How? Which one of you wants to try it? There's the cockpit door right there. Bring it on, baby. Yeah. Bring it on. And the flight attendant, do you want to sit down? Is your wife picking you up? Uh-huh. You just go ahead and sit down, sir. All right. You sons of bitches, just remember. I mean, what was the biggest fear you had flying up to this point? What, sitting next to the fat guy with no deodorant, right? Well, it's back. That fear is now the paramount fear. But I'm serious. I was sitting there. I'm thinking, come on. There's the cockpit. I'm right now. I'm like, I was in like 1A or something, okay? Because the guy had to come by me, and I was ready to rock and roll. After a week in New York, I was ready to rock and roll. Anything you want to bring, I got. Come on, let's go. I got my lunch and my dinner, too. And then this guy said, who are you talking to, sir? Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking to myself. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Did you see what just made the news? In Africa or someplace, they captured a rare white elephant. A white elephant, which is a symbol of peace and prosperity in whatever culture it was that they... This has just made the news. It's like national news. This was like a SIG alert or something.
Hello, Bob. We have this news at ABC. A white elephant. A white elephant sale is...
Oh, a white elephant sale. I'm sorry. No, it's a white elephant of some kind. A gorgeous... creature that is the symbol of peace and prosperity. I believe in omens. I think that's very good. Very nice. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Priscilla on the Phil Hendry Show. Priscilla?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to tell you that I think you're a little bit wrong about that Bruce Willis thing because I think he was one of
Bruce
the first...
Willis. I wasn't saying anything about Bruce, the Bruce Willis. This is the British Airways chief, Rod Eddington, who was making some comments about... celebrities.
Yeah.
And then he referred to Bruce Willis.
Okay. Well, I think he's a little bit wrong about
that. Oh, okay. Why do you say that?
Because I think he was one of the first guests on the David Letterman show when they went back on the air, and I think he had been in New York at Ground Zero to boost the morale of the firefighters, and he was on the show with his SDNY shirt on and talked nothing about except that he had been with the firefighters and how valiant they were.
Okay, cool. So there's Bruce. At least,
yeah.
All right. So what about the rest of them?
Well, I don't know exactly where he was when the concert for New York was on, but there were quite a few stars there to do their bit for raising money for the people that were affected by that.
The concert for New York? You mean the one that was on TV? Well, that was in two places, wasn't it? Hollywood, New York, and then it was also in London. Where
was it?
L.A., New York, and London, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So those guys were pretty involved, I would say.
Yes, they were, absolutely. And so we should speak about them. But there have been people who don't want to fly. I mean, it's been pretty high profile, and maybe it shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. But there've been a few high profile individuals who have canceled movie openings and things like that.
Yeah.
In other words, things that the press would cover and that the public would be aware of, and they very publicly canceled these events because they were afraid to fly. So you, when you do that, it sends that kind of freaked out message to your fans, doesn't it?
Well, I guess so. But if you also have children, you have to think about all the whole picture. You can't just decide, well, I'm a movie star, so I'm going to have to go ahead and go and do a thing. But
see.
I don't really.
I have children, and I flew.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, well,
what
that's
are you,
good. Well, I
well,
think you're
you,
a very
wait,
brave
person. Wait a minute. What are you
I think
saying?
You're a very
brave what are you saying? No,
I'm
seriously.
Saying I can't believe in my life I called your show. Is what I'm saying. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say. I just want to say there are quite a few of them that have done their part. And,
yes.
And put their,
yes, and, I agree with you, and they should be applauded, and I applaud them, and I think that, you know. Okay, we'll see you later, Priscilla. Since you didn't want to call the show, I'll hang
thanks.
Up. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I applaud them, and I'm not like this guy O'Reilly. Boy, you know how I feel about him. He's by the way, did you hear the news that they had to call a 911 emergency crew to Bill O'Reilly's house to separate him from the letter that he got from George Clooney because some kind of a sticky substance? When O'Reilly got that letter from Clooney, he must have just gone, oh, oh, you know, and he just with glee. Because now he gets to go on his show and talk about George Clooney wrote him a letter, and look at me, I'm Bill Riley, and aren't these actors all a bunch of scumbags? He was talking about that money that they raised on that Friday night telethon, and Clooney came back with a very sensible response after he was, you know, basically just poked and prodded and pushed until he had to say something. He said, we've given away $36 million of the $250 that we raised. You have to go slow. You have to find out who's in need. If we'd given all $250 million away within the first 6-7 weeks, then that would have been irresponsible, too. Clooney went out and raised $250 million. What's Bill O'Reilly doing? He's going out selling that bad book of his, that boring, boring book of his, that no spins whatever. That No Spin Zone, what a rotten book. Available now at Barnes & Noble. And I just think, 1-800-449-8686. Jared, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, how's it going?
Hi.
September 26th, my wife flew to New York with my six-month-old baby son, which you can probably hear in the background.
Yes, I do.
And you know what? I had no fears whatsoever. You know what? Even on that worst September 11th day,
yeah,
when those planes went down, there were 1.5 million people in the skies that day, and that was still less people on that day that died than probably in a normal day within America.
Yeah,
you know?
Within a week the planes were flying again, and my wife was on one of those. Within like 7 days, Maria was up flying. She was flying to Texas.
Yeah, I really don't know why, especially the stars are afraid, but let alone normal, everyday people. My son's grandparents are in New York. That's where my wife flew to.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You can't be afraid. If you live in fear, you're going to beat yourself up. It's just not worth it.
Hey, you know that your little boy who's kind of crying there a little bit?
Yeah.
Rub some whiskey on his teeth.
Oh, he's teething, actually. You're probably right. That's a good idea.
That's probably not a bad idea. I didn't know he was teething. That's what Mike Schaefer recommends. Mike knows because that's what he does every night. He rubs a little whiskey on his teeth, and then he stops crying.
Maybe I'll try some for myself, too.
Good, Jared. Well, good for you. Thank you very much. The best of
thanks,
the family.
Bill.
All right, pal.
Thanks.
Take bye.
Care.
There you go. There's a father sent his wife off in a plane. Go ahead. Bye. Probably didn't think he'd see her again. I'm kidding. You really have to put things into perspective. And that's just all there is to it. Forget about the celebrities. The time is now. The time has come. Knock it off. Get back traveling. Let's go. Am I saying I want everything back to normal? I'm the last guy that wants everything back to normal. I like the fact that we're not normal. I like the fact that we're more aware. I like the fact that we're a little more on edge. But it shouldn't keep you from moving. If it paralyzes you, it defeats its own purpose, in the words of Jake LaMotta in Raging Bull. You're cooking the steak. It's like charcoal. You can't cook it that long. It defeats its own purpose. Here is Jung on the Phil Hendry Show. Jung?
Hi.
Hi, sir.
I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you.
Yeah, I flew a couple weeks ago. I used to work in New York, and I thought it was important to get back to, you know, to the daily routine, and I went out to visit some friends out in L.A., and on the way back, I heard your show today about celebrities not flying and such, and on the way back from L.A. to Houston through Dallas, Ashley Judd was on the flight.
Was she?
Yeah.
Sitting coach, too, huh?
No, she actually, it was full, and she was upset that she didn't get her first class seat, and I think someone gave it up for her.
So, is that right?
Yeah.
Someone gave up what for? Did she give it up for him? I'm joking. All right, man, thank you very much. That's some good news. Ashley Judd, who I'm a huge fan of. Phil Hendry Show.
949-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Let me just go to this phone call. This is a gentleman who has called in, knows a little bit about the George Clooney and Bill O'Reilly controversy. And get on the line. Yes, sir?
Phil, I'm a former publicity agent for a number of film and television actors that you have been talking about. Not the ones you've been talking about, but for a number of different actors.
So you've been there as a publicity agent for these stars?
I've lived the life of a publicity agent, yes, and it was at times rewarding when I worked with some moderately talented people. But I don't really blame Mr. O'Reilly. These stars think only of themselves.
All right, well, getting people up to speed, Bill O'Reilly said that the movie stars and the TV stars and all that who got involved in raising that bread on that Friday night, they haven't given out the money, and these movie stars are all selfish.
Well, I agree, and my job was very difficult. As a publicity agent, it was all right working for an actor that had some talent, but...
and he also called publicity agents hacks.
That is correct.
As if he has absolutely no respect for them.
Well, the first person that a young movie actor who might be hiding the beginnings of an alcohol addiction or hiding the very minor beginnings of a crack cocaine addiction will oftentimes run and hide under the skirt of a publicity agent or hide in the closet of this publicity hack. I know, I was there. And
so you had to cover up a lot for a lot of actors?
Oh, my God, yes. And, oh, my God, yes. But toward the end of my career, when I was trying to get newspaper ink for people who had no business standing in front of a camera, it got hard because...
Are these stars that you worked with, are these actors as selfish as Mr. O'Reilly says? Are they prone to... I mean, they raised $250 million that night.
They are selfish. They're motivated by only one thing, to see themselves on television and the movies. And the other thing the actors know is they have the American people in their greasy palms. Julia Roberts puts a horse face up there on TV, squirts a few, and the next thing you know, $10 million.
What are you talking about, the night that they were on the telethon?
Yeah, that is correct, right.
Well, what about the actors like Jack Nicholson, Al Pacino? Those guys were sitting there on a telephone. I mean, that is not exactly the kind of photo op or television appearance you'd think of those guys would do. I mean, doesn't that prove that they had a little bit more in mind than just their own publicity?
Jack Nicholson, answering, the only time he's on a phone is to order the hooker who dresses like a UPS delivery man.
You know, you sound a little bitter.
I sound what?
You sound a little bitter. Why, you know, what is wrong with that? Why would he be on television?
Well, he's on television to get some face time since no one's bothered to show up at any of his movies for several years. I don't know if you're aware of the fact, but the last two films that Mr. Nicholson did, few people know the names of, and I don't even think they were released in the movie theater.
Well, I happen to know one of them was The Pledge.
Well, I don't know. Is that about furniture wax? What was that?
No, it wasn't about...
I'm serious, Mr. Hitman.
No, it wasn't about furniture wax. It was about a cop who made a pledge of some kind, and the crossing guard. But I want to talk about that, okay? The people, the American people, gave money out of the kindness of their hearts, okay? They see these stars. They are motivated to give.
There's no way the American people would have coughed up $250 million. There is no way they would have coughed up 250 cents if George Clooney or Julia Roberts didn't tell them to. They don't give a good sweet Jesus about the 5,000 people that died. They do it because they were told to by Tom Hanks.
All right, I want to give our number out here. Your name is what, Mr. Sewell?
I'm Herb Sewell, Phil.
And you're a former publicity agent for a number of film and television actors. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know if you've heard, but Bill O'Reilly of Fox News was involved in some kind of a contretemps with the film actors, with George Clooney particularly, saying that they raised a lot of money, but they're not giving any of it out, and you seem to side with Mr. O'Reilly.
I side with him. I think I've worked with these people.
Well, you do sound angry and bitter.
I have worked for some real scum. I have some stories. As John Huston said in Chinatown, let me tell you a story, Phil. John Huston made the comment in the movie Chinatown, most men never have to face the fact that given the right time and the right place, they're capable of anything. And I was working for one of the rising stars in the business, Wade Coleman. And I asked...
You were doing publicity for Wade Coleman?
I was. And I asked him for a loan. It's an ugly story. I was being extorted.
You were being extorted by somebody?
That is correct, yes.
Were you asking him for the money to make a payoff?
I asked him for money.
What were they... Why were they extorting?
Someone had photographs, and I will be very honest with you. It involved me and bestiality. You know, and...
Okay, so they're extorting money.
That is correct. I was desperate, and I made the mistake of asking Wade for $1,000. One afternoon during a party, this spoiled, self-indulgent little movie star, and I will never forget, he drunkenly ordered me to get on my hands and knees on the diving board and oink like a pig in front of his 20-something guests. And I will never forget that. You know...
Well, all right, look, You were humiliated.
I was humiliated, yes.
And you're angry about that, and as a result, you have a belief that these movie stars would take the $250 million and not give it to the people who need it?
That is correct.
Well, what do you think happened to the money?
I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if some producer or some studio head finally found the money to check themselves into Betty Ford. Or that Malibu place promises, so you can get the dope sucked out of your veins for $3,000 a night, but it's pricey.
All right, Herb, again, to say that the movie star and that the people would not have donated this money other than the fact they were directed by the movie stars to do it, I think, is to undersell the American people.
Now, I've worked around movie stars. I know their power. The only reason why the American people donated money on that Friday night is because Dave Matthews got on TV and all the others and said, send your money in. That's why the American...
So they didn't do it because they cared about the people?
If they cared about the people in New York, they would have sent the money in without being told to by Billy Joel. But they were told to, and they did as they were told.
I don't believe that the American people sent money in because they were doing as they were told.
They did as they were told. When Tom Hanks tells the American people to squat over a golf ball, they'll do it. When Tom Hanks tells the American people to wrap their lips around the tailpipe, they'll do it. A publicist's job is to save these actors when they find themselves with their privates where they shouldn't be. Spin the story. Well, Phil, I've spun till I puked, and I don't want to do it anymore. And
so you don't feel you're angry and bitter over the fact that one of these movie stars you represented made you get on your hands and knees on a diving board and oink like a pig
in front of all of his little guests. I have not forgotten that, and I will tell you that it doesn't shock me at all that this money hasn't gotten to the people it ought to get to. I don't doubt for a minute that some of this money is most probably in the pockets of some very heavyweight producer who is driving his gold Lexus through the gates of Gentle Arms dope-sucking retirement home where he can lay down on a gurney and have someone put a tube up his ass and siphon all the heroin out of his colon.
Okay, hold on. From 1-800-449-8686, this is a story being told by a former publicist, Herb Sewell. He believes that the money that was raised during that telethon is not going to get to the people that it ought to get to. He thinks that the movie actors themselves are dope-using swine. I mean, you heard him. He believes that the money is probably in the pocket of some producer who is checking himself into the Betty Ford Clinic. He sounds bitter because at one point in his career, he was ordered to oink like a pig while on his hands and knees on a diving board at Wade Coleman's house. And if Mr. Coleman is listening, I would imagine he has a slander lawsuit at best against this gentleman, Herb Sewell, who is a publicity agent. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Did the American people donate money to the September 11th fund because they were told to by Tom Hanks? We'll be right back on The Phil Hendry Show.
But I was at a movie premiere once, and right there on the red carpet, someone tells me that Goldie Hawn asked a fan to scrape some gum off of her shoe, and the fan did it. I mean, can you imagine lowering yourself? These stars could squeeze the last ounce of blood from a cadaver.
All right, well, let me first of all say that we're back with Herb Sewell, a former publicity agent, used to work with some Hollywood and film and television stars, about the controversy surrounding where's all the money going that the celebrities raised on Friday night on the telethon. What was the name of that thing?
I think it was a self-aggrandizing title, like Give Money Because We're Here or something like that.
No, it was called Tribute to Heroes, wasn't it?
Well, but that's what I mean, tribute to heroes. What do they mean, tribute to heroes? Them or the ones who are in New York?
I would assume the ones in New York. And, see, you made a comment I'd like you to kind of follow up on. The American people sent $250 million in during the Tribute to Heroes telethon because they were told to by Tom Hanks.
That is correct, yes.
So, unless Tom Hanks or Julia Roberts
or Billy Joel or any of the other stars tell them,
then they won't send any money in.
That's right. That's the nature of the American people. And so the movie stars know that. And they manipulate that because they know how much the American people would do for them. See, you have to understand, as a publicity agent, I saw this many times. The American people would do anything for a movie star, go through any humiliation, put themselves and their families through any kind of abomination just to stand within a block of their favorite star. So I have seen this over and over and over again. Julia Roberts could get the American people to send money in to get her car lubricated.
Boy, what an opinion you got of the American people, okay?
Well, Mr. Hendry, I worked as a publicity agent for a number of years, so I know what the American people are all about.
All right, Herb Sewell is with us. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. And
can you hold on for a minute, Phil? Welcome to Jack in the Box. Would you like to try our 99-cent tacos?
We're talking with Herb Sewell, who is a publicity agent.
And that's, you want to try the tacos?
And he worked for many years with a lot of Hollywood stars. Herb?
Hold on for a minute, Phil. You want a Diet Coke?
He worked for many years with them. And a lot of them, of course, are people who, he says, one in particular treated him rudely.
All right, I've got I've got the ultimate cheeseburger, two Diet Cokes, and onion rings.
He said that he was treated badly by one of the stars that he handled, who he asked for a loan, and that person gave him the $1,000 if he would oink like a pig in front of his 20-something guests.
Drive through, please. Phil, first of all, I can name hundreds of times I've seen happy husbands and fathers go gay just to please a celebrity. I can name...
Well, what are you talking about, man? At a movie premiere or at a...
No, it's just... I don't want to be specific, but that's the kind of thing that people will do for movie actors. And as far as I'm concerned, It is the time for us to tell the truth about all of this. All right. So, if you know of a movie actor who is donating his money, good luck, friend, because it's not happening.
All right, Herb. I appreciate your time talking with us here about this this situation with George Clooney. But I tell you something, man. Some of these guys in the media who are trying to make hay while the sun shines, saying that the celebrities are not pulling their weight. You know what? How much bread has Bill O'Reilly raised? I guess is the most obvious question. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
You sound like somebody that's rehearsing for some kind of werewolf movie. Pastor, don't speak like you. There are no such thing as werewolf. And I've never heard a pastor like you. And I am a Christian. And there's no such thing as werewolf. I was brought up in the woods, trapping.
You brought up in the woods?
Fishing. I've never caught a wolf in my life.
As
a child, that's how I was brought up. We had to work for a living, and that's what I did, but I've never caught a wolf. I've caught muskrats. I've caught otters. I've caught necks. I've caught coons. I've caught possums. I've caught rabbits, but never rabbits.
You call me a coon?
You stole that money. You stole that money, so admit it. And stop hiding back to God.
No,
you are not a Christian. You are a hypocrite. If there's any werewolf, you're the damn werewolf. You are not a pastor. And they should go over there, and you should be arrested. If you
be
here, you would be arrested.
For what? What they going to arrest me for?
Because you stole some money, claiming it was for a child. That was an excuse and a liar. If you're a Christian, get the money back and give it back to the child for to have it surgery. You are worse than the devil. You're worse than Ben Letterman. You stole the money. You owe his teeth. What part of the goddamn jungle you came from?
Now hold on for a second, sister.
No, I ain't holding on. You owe his teeth and admit it. You are a lie teller. And the Lord is telling me to tell you this. Because you owe his teeth. You stole money from a crippled child that needs surgery. Go admit it. Admit it. You owe his teeth. You're trying to hide back a lot, Jesus Christ. You owe a line. And you can't talk over me because I'm French, Indian, Irish, and German.
All right, Eva,
you
Eva,
never
this is
talk
Phil
over me. You
Eva,
are a hypocrite liar.
Yeah, this is Phil. Hold on, Eva, okay? Are you there?
Yes, yeah, I'm here.
Hold on for a minute, dear. Now, Pastor Reddick.
Why you let that woman...
Hold on for a minute. I want to make sure everybody gets a word in it. And will you quit running for your gun every time a trick-or-treater comes to the door?
I don't know. My ass is at risk.
No, hold on. Eva, you say that you grew up in the woods.
Yeah, well, yeah, as a child, that was our livelihood.
Now, he's talking about a werewolf, not just a wolf. A werewolf, a guy that turns into a wolf.
I've never seen a werewolf in my life, all right?
Yeah, okay. All right,
well,
now this is obviously...
New Orleans now, but we trapped all our life from the ground and we moved. I've caught nets, I've caught otters.
Yeah.
I've caught possums, I've caught coons. Red
otters
coons.
And coons? Okay. Now, the werewolf is a mythological figure, obviously.
That's from a movie he saw.
Now,
it's
Pastor,
movie
did you
of
get
the
your...
old lady walking through the woods and had killed a wolf with a walking stick with a silver handle.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one.
That is it. No, I've lived in the woods. I've never seen any wolves in the woods.
Yeah. Now, you grew up in the...
something wrong with your mind. You need to see a psychiatrist. You need to be thrown out of whatever church you're in. And
Eva,
you need
I was
to
in,
be rebuked.
New Orleans.
In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you because you are a Satanist.
Phil Hendry.